We're gonna mix them up. So anybody needs to submit their card or wants a card? You're pointing this way, but I don't see. Okay. Fantastic. Chloe, don't go too. I need you, Chloe. Don't take all the cards because we want to start right away. So the way it's gonna work, right, is that we're gonna mix up the cards. We're gonna pull them out. You only get to speak once. If you filled the ballot box, you only get one vote, so you only get to speak once. You get to speak for 2 minutes. I'm no fun. Everybody tells me that. Then we're gonna get through as many people as we can in 45 minutes. All right? Again, I ask, please, we are a close-knit, friendly community. Yes, question? Oh, you wanna submit a card? Okay, no, I can talk and walk at the same time. So I ask that, right, let's respect one another. We all have different views at different times, certainly. More cards. And, really try to, I know that you're going to be excited and happy about some things that people say and not about some things that people are going to say. So I can't tell you, you're not allowed to, you need to be quiet and be stoic, but let's please not intimidate the people, the speakers that are going to be trying to come up here and speak. All right. So, with that, I'm going to have the first person come up, begin, get ready to speak, and then I'll have the next up, and then the third up. Somebody submitted questions. No, we can't answer the questions. All right, so first person, Diane Dreyer. If you would like to speak, please come up here. I also have Ed Spur. Ed, if you could come up here and sit in the chair. I've got two chairs up here. This is just going to help facilitate the speaking. And then Alyssa Burkhart. Right there. So it'll be up next, and you want that, because those are that's your comments. Very good. And then Ed. All right, so please.
Thank you very much for having this really important and very informative, extremely informative meeting tonight. And I'm glad so many people are here to get the facts about what the agencies are considering. I didn't prepare something and I didn't know I'd be going first. But I think what I want to say to everyone is we really, as a community, we really need to think about the future. It's not likely that we'll get passenger rail in the next 12 or 15 years, but we will need it. The people who live in this county and beyond will need it in another 15, 20, 30, 40 years. We need to think big picture, not our own little tiny world. So thinking about climate change, it's a big crisis. And every community has to push ahead with solving that big problem. So that's all I'm going to say.
Very good. Thank you for your comments. Ed, you're next. The next one after Alyssa is going to be Sally Honora. So, Sally, if you could make your way up front, please.
Wow, $1 billion for bridges. That's more than I make in a year. But realistically, I was excited when we bought the right-of-way, because we were told we could have a train and a trail and everything would be great. And then when I started attending the public outreach from the RTC, it was clear from the start that they would only consider a train. And as we've moved along over the last 12 years, we find it's a single track, there's no place to put it. There's not really a need for it. The 2015 study said that there would reduce any highway one traffic. So is it really feasible? And now we're told we have to wait another few months before our feasibility study comes up. We've spent tens of millions of dollars on these studies. And now we're asked to make a commitment for a narrow bike lane going through town, which is extremely dangerous, and otherwise we'll lose our funding. Now, we have a good bus system in this county. It's not run very well, but it can be improved, and it works. It's point to point. The train only goes from here to there, and there's the last mile to consider. So let's consider rail banking this wonderful right-of-way that we have. And if we need more time, let's come up with something that's going to make our community, as we grow, a safer place to ride our bikes, to walk, and to enjoy each other. And now we've got electric bikes. You know, it's like things are changing very quickly. So let's not go with the 20th century.
Very good. Thank you, sir, for your comments. Alyssa?
Hi, my name's Alyssa. I'm a regular biker and bike commuter through Capitola. I just had a few comments on moving the bike route through the downtown village area. Right now, I do go through the village on a very regular basis, and I've noticed that the cars that are parallel parked, especially along Capitola Avenue in Monterey, are basically opening their doors into the bike lane, which is extremely hazardous, and I'm very worried about getting doored every time I go downtown. So I'm suggesting one way to alleviate that might be to reduce the parallel parking, especially along Capitola and Monterey Avenue, just in that downtown block, to eliminate the frequency of potentially dooring bikers. Also, on today's presentation, I noticed that the bike lane is frequently crossing the railroad tracks. Just want to make sure that that's very safe for bikers. Bike tires can easily get caught in railroad lines. I've fallen twice and been pretty severely hurt crossing railroad tracks. So just make sure that there's a clear, parallel, like safe way to cross the railroad tracks as a bike crosses the tracks. And finally, the barrier areas, the picture that was shown had a lot of boulders in it. If you fall on a bike and then you hit your head on one of those boulders, it's going to hurt a lot. Maybe just keep that soft, like keep it grass only and not having large, dangerous protective areas that could hurt bikers if they fall. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Before you start, Sally, I want to get the next two speakers up here so that we can keep moving along. So I have, is it Cammie? Oh, Cammie Crumbs? There you go. Perfect. See, you didn't think I was going to call your name. You thought, and then Jonathan Evans. Jonathan Evans, come on up here, please. All right, thank you, Sally.
I just want to thank the many staff members who prepared presentations today. Most of this I'd seen before, but I was impressed with how people really were able to like take giant long presentations and get to the point really fast. But some new stuff that I heard was really shocking to me, and that was that if I understood this correctly, the staff are concerned that if Capitola doesn't approve this little section of trail that looks very well developed to me. I mean, I'm a pretty timid cyclist, and it seems fully protected and separated from the road. It's just, you know, at road level rather than in the ditch, which as a woman cycling alone, I feel better up there anyway. But that our county could lose $67.6 million that's not to be spent necessarily in Capitola, but in other parts of our county for safe bike infrastructure, and then basically we kind of look like chumps to the state, and they wouldn't want to give us any more money for other transportation projects. That to be a very frightening result of a decision. And I think that, you know, there's all kinds of other concerns people have about trestles and trailers and other stuff. But right now, all really the city council is being asked to do is decide, should we get some free bike infrastructure along Park Avenue? And that seems like a pretty easy decision to make. And, you know, we can disagree about other things, about trains and trestles, and we could fight about that later. But I think we could, you know, let's get some safety infrastructure now and not ruin our county's credibility with state funders. Thank you.
if I could get Daniel Stagna. Daniel knows who he is. Great. Thanks. Come on up.
Well, thanks, Mayor Clark and City Council members and RTC. I want to thank you for taking the time on this and my wonderful neighbors here in Capitola. So thank you for showing up today. I'm going to try not to pull a Cory Booker and be here all night long. But I do want to express some concerns. I've been in the law field for probably as long as Joe has. I think we're probably the only two here as long as we have. About 50 years. And, you know, I took an oath of office many times. And what I want to talk about, we keep going back and forth on all this stuff, and I'm kind of actually, to be honest with you, really tired of all the disagreement and everything that's going on. But what I want to talk about is accountability for the City of Capitola and RTC. And I kind of feel like there's a lot of misinformation, misleading information that's going out there. For instance, tonight, I live in the mobile home community. So many of you may not realize, but this affects us deeply. It's very stressful for us right now. We're not sleeping. We're worried about whether or not we're going to have a home in our retirement age that we saved our money for. This is all we could afford. And although I'm in total disagreement for the village situation going down there, my family's been here 100 years. I know what this whole thing is going to look like. I think that the people need to be accountable for misleading information and making sure that it gets to the people here appropriately. One of the misleading information is, yeah, RT sent us letters, but they sent us two letters. We actually responded back to a letter. And now the meeting on the 4th is going to be with the management's attorneys and RTC's attorneys, as well as Capitola. So be aware of that. And we are going to fight this. And we're baby boomer seniors, and we're not letting it go. But I'm going to vote for the Measure L situation. Hopefully you guys will take that in consideration. The congestion. I always say Capitola only has 10,000 residents, but during the summer they have 3 million. So let's take that into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. If I could get Lynn Gainey to please come up. Give me a second. And you're good to go.
Jonathan Evans. I want to thank county and city staff for helping us navigate figuratively and literally some difficult situations through the county and the city. As a frequent cyclist, including cycling some of the proposed rail trail tonight through Capitola Village, I support the staff's plans for the Park Avenue alignment, especially option B. It reduces costs, reduces long-term environmental constraints, and takes advantage of important funding sources that have a limited time frame. Please approve the Park Avenue alignment. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. So if I could get somebody, just put Katie down. Is there a Katie? Daniel, please.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for putting together this town hall meeting. I'm just coming up here and basically speaking as a business owner and as a resident of Capitola. And I just prepared a little comment here to kind of just really go over, I think, looking at the overall beauty of the Capitola Village, and I think that's kind of what we're maybe missing on some of the other issues that are, you know, surrounding this. And, you know, the more and more I look into this, it brings up more questions. I'm deeply concerned, you know, regarding the proposed, you know, rail. And I'll just go ahead and read, you know, what I have written here. It's basically the concern about the irreversibility and the impact to the proposed rail and truck project will have on the historic village, the local economy, and the quality of life. I believe this, you know, plan is overlooking and, you know, disregarding some of the Section 106 compliances that I've read up on, which protects the historic sites and ignores the Measure L, which voters passed to preserve the Capitola's unique charm. The project will bring increased increase traffic and congestion and disrupt the businesses and alter the beauty and the character of our village, all without clear funding or necessity. I urge the council to pause this project and demand full transparency to ensure the Capitola's interests, not outside the agendas. Capitola Village by the Sea, let it be.
All right, thank you for your comments. Barry Newman. Barry Newman, if you could come.
No, I'm good.
You're good? Okay, never mind. The next one would be... Sorry about that. That's okay. Mark Drummond. Please, sir.
Okay. I just want to thank everybody for being here. This is a really volatile question and situation. I have been a Capitola resident for 45 years. I've moved to Aptos, but my heart is still here. I raised 5 children here. And I think that Capitola has a very special place in everybody's heart, even those who come. The idea of putting more traffic through downtown Capitola and taking away parking places, I understand about doors opening into a bike. I had that happen with one of my kids in the back who got knocked over on the bike, so I understand that. But we need to try to figure out a way to be able to work together to benefit the greater population without just being worried about a bucket of money that we got from the state. And I have a question on that is, how do we find out whether, or who finds out, if Capitola votes no on this section, being clawed back, or do we just find a different route around to intersect the rest of the trail? I hear what feels like threats that, oh, we're going to lose it all. We're going to lose millions of dollars if Capitola doesn't acquiesce. I find that not acceptable, and I also find that not a good, strong, honest, straightforward answer. And in our country right now, we as United States Americans need to stand up and try to find out the truth about what's going on and represent that to all of our constituents here and our nation. And I feel passionate about that. So thank you for everybody who's here and what you're doing, but I would like to get the answer of, is that money clawed back, or do we just find an alternative route that's going to not impact Capitola? Because all of the traffic comes through is the economic growth engine for our small little village. Thank you.
Thank you. Next will be Katie, and then if I could get Barry Scott to come up.
Thanks for having us. One thing I just wanted to point out, I guess I was a little curious, your proposal for narrowing the roads sort of scratched my head, feeling like, aren't cars getting bigger? Or is that just me? I feel like I see a lot of big SUVs and trucks, but maybe that's just me being an environmentalist. Oh, why are these cars getting bigger and bigger? So I looked it up. And there's actually a phenomenon going on. And in the U.S., vehicles they've found from 2013 to 2023 have increased in length by 12%. That's over 2 feet. And more importantly, they've increased in width by 17%. They're now a foot wider, the vehicles that consumers are wanting to buy. Whether that makes them feel safer, I don't know, perhaps. And that's fine as the consumer's choice. But I just don't know that narrowing the roads is now going to work as we start to see these larger cars on the road. I don't bike every day, but I do enjoy biking, and I feel that when I'm in the bike lanes, we've got rear or side view mirrors in our bike lanes already. So I'm not sure that this is taken into consideration, but I think it should be. I'm not sure that narrowing the roads is going to work when we have these vehicles continuing to get larger. But perhaps, like I can't remember the fellow's name, said about rail banking, and now we have a very safe place to walk and bike on the railway that's just paved over in a safe place with no worry about a train or any vehicles, I think could be really an excellent thing for our community. That was all. I just wanted to point that out.
If I could get Clark Cochran to please come up here. That was easy.
Again, I'd really like to thank everybody here. I know there's hard decisions.
My background is in large project construction. I've lived in Santa Cruz since 1961. Lived in Capitola here for over 25 years. I've seen the traffic. We've all seen the traffic and everything. Thank you for the comment for narrow roads. Having put in a lot of roads myself, I think it's a huge mistake. I think it does nothing but cause congestion and slowing things down. That would be one comment of mine. I would like to see everybody follow the intent of Measure L and stay along the tracks. I think it's very, very important that we do that. Stay off of Park Avenue, stay on the tracks, fix the trestle, whatever we got to do. But down in the village, for the Capitol residents, I feel like we're asked to cut off a leg to get a handicap placard in that sense. And one of the things too is if the RTC goes down the village, Capitol loses control of our village down there. Now that property goes down. For any future for our village and everything, I think it's something we've got to think about. That and the super congestion along, in the village and on Park Avenue and everything. I would like to thank you for the sidewalk down Park Avenue. That's wonderful. Really, I use it all the time. But thank you again for being here. And I know you've got a lot of hard decisions, but there's a lot of people here that don't want to go to the village.
If I could get Ariel Gray to come up, please. Thank you. Barry, all yours.
Thank you. And I want to thank city staff and county and RTC staff for all the hard work. My name is Barry Scott. I live 1.8 miles outside of Capitola in Aptos. My undergraduate study was in architecture and urban planning. That's 5 years, and 3 years before that I was in underground construction. I've been following the developments of the rail trail for 11 years, longer than some of the RTC staff. I just want to appeal to everybody to think open-mindedly. If you look around, we are building the trail. Santa Cruz, for example, has an experience of sharing space, the city with the county to make projects happen, finding funding jointly to make things happen. The same is true in Watsonville. I need to say, I put my name in because I want to speak for the county that isn't Capitola. The right-of-way belongs to the county. It's a county-owned piece of infrastructure. I don't believe attempts at rail making are going to be successful because I talked to all of the city council members, all of the supervisors, and I don't think there will ever be the majority required to pursue a rail making approach. And I know that a lot of people have been convinced that a rail banking thing could happen, and we could just build new tracks, and then that could just happen in 2 years or something. It's not going to happen. I encourage you to do the research and find out what will happen. And I hope that the city will approve Park Avenue option A or B. But I just appeal to everybody to do some research. Thank you.
Thank you. If I could get Sydney Arabin, please. Clark, go ahead.
Thanks. I'm Clark Cochran. I'm a resident of Capitola. Sitting here listening to this information, appreciated. It made me come up with some thoughts, and so I'm just going to randomly come up with things that made me think about. First of all, we have to think trail. We're talking $1 billion for the trestles and the bridges. Is that tomorrow? Is that next year? Is that next decade? Trail. I'm not saying we can't have rail, but not going to be in my lifetime. So, and it's also not the city's place to bend its own rules to save RTC money. The trestle needs reinforcements. Reinforcements can be made. Staff said, RTC staff said, $11 million. Pave it over and use it as a trail for now. Not the greatest but it works. And it'll happen in our lifetime, and we can keep using it. We run it through the village, we know that's going to be semi-permanent. It's not going away, and that's not what we want. Nobody wants that. There is room for a trail only past the mobile homes. Let's use trail through there. Rail? In somebody else's lifetime. The city council must follow its own rules. We have to stay in the corridor, or it has to be put to a public vote. That's what Measure L says, that's what our CMC, Capitola Municipal Code says. So, and no more turf tracks, taxes to rail. Come on. Even though the RTC intimated that it's going to go over our heads if they don't like our decisions. There are decisions. Let's fight them. It's our city.
Ariel?
Hi, Ariel Gray, president of Capitola. I want to thank all of you for your presentations tonight. Some of the things I heard are that a decision on Park Avenue alignment is needed. Rejecting the Park Avenue alignment incurs risks to Capitola in getting a trail along Park. The rail-banking process could extend beyond grant deadlines, and it also creates an obstacle to implementing the rail, which goes against the overwhelming majority voice of our community for Measure D in 2022. So this leads me to believe that approving the Park Avenue alignment is the approach that gets us a trail in Capitola the fastest. Any other decision, whether it's rejecting the Park Avenue alignment, waiting for additional reports, or pushing for the interim trail, invites a scenario with risks, delays, and uncertainty. I especially support option B, which has less cost and maintains the 3-foot barrier. I also heard that interpreting city code is under Capitola City Council jurisdiction. So I would urge the City Council to acknowledge that no Capitola funds are being used, and in fact, we'd save $80,000. And for any county project, I would hope that Capitola City resources would work with the county. And I'd urge the City Council to consider this good government, not a violation of Measure L. So, moving forward with the Park Avenue alignment also allows for a future project that gets us trail over the trestle. So please support Park Avenue alignment.
All right, thank you. So next up, if I could get Karen Klobowski. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, happy Wednesday. So, the rail project is the sum of all of its parts. The ongoing planning and design efforts by RTC staff involve designs for a trail and rail. This means that the design for every segment will have both. However, there could be segments with only rail if certain jurisdictions, such as Capitola, push back on efforts to design, fund, and build rail trail sections. The choice before you is something, a funded and safe rail, or nothing. No rail, no trail, just rail. If the vote is delayed against the design of the Park Avenue Rail Trail segment, it will be removed from the project. This means that every resident who wants a safe and protected way to commute from Cliffwood Heights to Capitola Village will have to settle for the city-funded effort to improve the bike lanes directly on Park Avenue. Please approve the trail as proposed.
Thank you. If I could get Stephanie, it just says Stephanie, wrote on a yellow card. Is that you? Fantastic. I will bring the mic to you when it's your turn.
Hi, I'm Brian Peoples with Trail Now. I first got involved with RTC over 25 years ago, so I'm pretty well knowledgeable. And I will tell you right now, they're using scare tactics for you. So, for example, I've spoken to the CTC administrator. The Capitola Trestle can be integrated into the grant. Okay, first of all, that's number one. Secondly, what they're not really telling you is they're using scare tactics on rail banking. Actually, what they're proposing on A and B, that's not part of the current EIR. And that's going to actually take longer than rail banking. Let me explain to you about rail banking. It's a simple process. It's not a legal process. It's a simple administrative process. It's a federal process where the application gets submitted. If Rory Camp was to oppose it, and they lose, which they would, they can't sue. It's not like eminent domain. It's a very structured process, you guys. It's a permitting process. So the rail banking, they're using a scare tactic. They're telling you that it's going to take too long. We actually went into the database for the STB. They average about 4 to 6 months to rail bank. Once you submit your rail banking application, you can begin the process of pulling the rails up. So now, if you build the trail, the interim trail, which was part of the original plan, it's a fraction of the cost. It's like $2.5 million to build a beautiful trail where the tracks are versus $25 million a mile. They're using scare tactics. You're not going to lose the money. Don't allow them to scare you. We need to save the Capitola Trestle. This is your only chance, Capitola. You're going to lose the Capitola Trestle if you allow RTC to come in here and say, "Oh, you got to have your trail on Park Avenue." Guaranteed. Right now, you got to make your stand. Thank you.
Get through as many people as possible, please. Right? You can support, but I need to get through some people. Carl Siebert, you're next up, please.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm Karen Klimowski, and I'm a Capitola resident. I disagree with the downtown Capitola for all the congestion and everything stated earlier, so I'm not going to waste my time on that. I also heard tonight that if Capitola doesn't approve, then the whole rail trail is at risk. I might have misunderstood at the beginning on the budget slides, but I think there's an $18.3 million shortfall in the budget. And then there's a federal RAISE grant that was $8.4 million. And I want to know if that RAISE grant is guaranteed, since so many federal grants are being rescinded across the country, and the speed train in California funding is also at risk. So if I did my math right, that would be another $26.7 million shortfall. And so how does that relate to, if Capitola doesn't improve, the entire project goes down? So I am curious about that, and I look forward to that answer in the future. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So I'm over here. Stephanie's over here, and I'm going to hand her my mic.
Hi, my name is Stephanie. 12-year resident now. And my concerns are primarily, I consider myself, I'm in a wheelchair, so I consider myself an advocate for seniors and disabled throughout the county. And my concern is twofold. Of course, we're all concerned about the ecology, right? We have to be. We don't have a choice. And I'm always wondering how it makes sense that we live in one of the most beautiful places in the world, right? And yet California doesn't have a rail system. How does that make sense? It seems like we're backwards. And so then when I look at, our rail proposal, I'm also looking at it from the perspective of, don't forget we have a silver tsunami coming on. Capitola is going to be one of the first counties in California to be hit by this rapid aging. So we're going to have, by 2030, our population is going to be significantly older. And, of course, the disabled population correlates with that. So I'm looking at, okay, what kind of transportation are we going to have available for our seniors and disabled? I'm also looking at, and I know this project doesn't necessarily immediately address, but does it make sense that we don't really have transportation over the hill? So when we're talking about rail and transportation, what are we talking about here? Not having a trail, I think is super important, and it's going to help people in wheelchairs as well. So those are the questions that I'm thinking about. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. So the next two, if you can move up to the front, is Johanna Whitehill and Elliot Campbell. Go ahead, Carl.
Hi. Thank you very much. I'm Carl Siebert. I graduated from this wonderful institution 60 years ago this coming June. We didn't have... We had a cave and sat on tree stumps and communicated with drums. Before, when I've had the opportunity to speak, that I don't hear many people talking about this in terms of an investment in the future and in jobs and opportunities. I'm for rail and trail. I want to see both, and I would use both. I would utilize both, and I don't want to see that trestle messed with, except to be utilized for both. That's what it should be. I don't want to see traffic going or bike traffic and pedestrian traffic hazarded into the village. It's a village. Anyway, back to my prepared script. Consider the employment opportunities, jobs, green jobs in construction, green jobs probably in the maintenance, but a lot of jobs, a lot of local employment opportunities in the construction of rail and trail. This is something that can be expanded and improved upon. And what happens if this go through? Yeah, people who walk and ride bikes will have the opportunity. But what about folks who need transportation because they're wheelchair bound? Groups, senior citizens, people who don't have bikes, people who just want to commute. We can walk and chew gum in this beautiful place of innovation and good minds. And I just hope and pray we can see both and do both. I've traveled, my career blessed me with opportunities to travel around the country and the world, and I've seen where rail works, and I don't understand why we can't do it here. Thank you very much.
Okay, excellent. We've got about 10 minutes left, right around that, so that would be right around five speakers. All right, we've got the next up would be Terry Thomas.
Hi there, my name's Johanna, and I live in Seacliff. And I just wanted to comment about the safety on the Park Avenue diversion that's proposed. Thank you, staff, for the presentation. It was very good. I noticed that on the slide, the reason for the diversion, there was no mention of safety. And although they addressed it briefly, I'd like to talk about that a little bit more. The Caltrans Highway Design Manual was the primary resource for designing the Monterey Bay Sanctuary Scenic Trail. And in it, bike paths immediately adjacent to the streets and highways are not recommended. And what that means is that while they can provide separation between vehicles and non-motorized traffic, they typically introduce significant conflicts at intersections. They are not a substitute for designing the road to meet the bicyclist's mobility needs. The proposed plan removes existing active transportation, an existing sidewalk and two bike lanes, and replaces it with one 8-foot bike path. And yes, it is an 8-foot bike path because all paths, according to Caltrans, require shoulders. So when they call it a 12-foot path, it's really 8 feet, and that matters because 8 feet is the minimum for a bike path. Shared use paths are recommended to be 10, 12, 14 feet plus shoulders. National handbooks explain that in very rare circumstances, an 8-foot path may be used when bikes are not expected to be in high a lot, or pedestrians. So it's an unsafe trail, and I hope that you'll investigate that.
Great. Thank you, sir. So here's the lineup for the, if I could get, so Terry Thomas is up here, Kevin McGuire, Susie Merriman, Miriam and Debbie Hale. That will be our speaker lineup for this evening.
Thanks so much. Appreciate the opportunity to comment. I
It's great seeing so many people here. We all love Capitola. That's why we're here. My family moved here in the 60s. I have my house across the street. I raised my kids there. And that brings me to some of the people who aren't here tonight. I see a few kids in the room, but not too many. So I just want to speak on behalf of my kids. One of them is biking across town right now. The other one's working on their science fair project in our house. They bike down in the village all the time. They go down there to get candy and burritos, to go surf. We really appreciate the opportunity to improve any infrastructure for them to go down in the village. I like the idea of Park Avenue. They're up, they're visible, we can see them. People are calling this a trench. I don't know if that's the technical word, but I really like having my kids visible. I just would really appreciate moving forward with something. It was a little while ago, we had some friends out here for our anniversary. We're having our 10th anniversary, and they looked at that that rail, and they're like, oh, wow, that's amazing. You guys aren't doing anything with that? And I'm like, well, it's a long story. This morning, my wife reminded me that next year's our 20th anniversary, and gosh, it'd be amazing to see something happen so these kids can get around a little bit safe. Thanks so much.
Together going different directions, that's not safe. 2023, RTC presented the Ultimate Trail and the Interim Trail. They've had time to look into rail banking. The director, Sarah Christensen, just sent an email to our city manager about a month ago talking about rail banking, said it wasn't advised because of the timing. They've had time to look into this. They had time to do what's right for us. Not this option A or B, it's not gonna make it better. Park Avenue. It's going to take our land. They said we can't gift property to the mobile homes, so we're supposed to gift our property to the RTC. That's not right. We lose parking spots. We lose ADA access to to the trail, but no parking there. I don't know how you're going to get down with the wheelchair from Coronado. There's going to be less stations with high speed, inner city rail. But yeah, let's just do it safe, what's right. And we don't have the money, we're not going to approve the taxes, we're not going to have a train until the $225 million gets funded to replace the trestle. I mean, we need the trail now,
yeah,
and not through the village.
Susie and then Debbie, and I'll give you some statistics afterwards.
Thank you. Yeah, it is fun being back in the room that the school that I went to and my daughter went to as well. It's great to be back here. I'm supporting the rail and the trail as well. It's a long-term vision for the future of Santa Cruz and our kids and our grandkids. That's when the train is actually going to get here. But what's really exciting to me is the trail that's already being built throughout our county. And now Capitola has this wonderful opportunity to get improvements built along Park Avenue for relatively free, with additional funding for planning of those improvements. I support the staff plan for the rail trail alongside Park Avenue. Some people might prefer a different location, but the staff project is the only one that can actually be built with the grant money that is available today. The funding will be lost, and there won't be any at all along this corridor. If the city council does not support this. So I recommend support of the plan.
Thank you. And then our last speaker for the night will be Debbie.
Hello, my name is Debbie Hale, and I'm a 30-year Capitola resident, and I'm also the retired director for the Transportation Agency for Monterey County. So I know a little bit about some of the we're facing and some of the choices that we have, and it seems really clear to me that even though I'd love to see rail in the future, we don't know if that's going to happen. We don't know how the money's going to go, and clearly our community is divided throughout the whole county. But what I do know is that this is our chance to get a much safer pathway for bicyclists and pedestrians and disabled folks and people that can't walk very fast, like my parents that used to live right along Park Avenue. I would love to see a nice contiguous path that would make it so much safer. I'm a bicyclist, I walk around town all the time, and I think it's great to think we're gonna have improved intersections in the village, and a look at a trestle improvement in the long run, although I'm a little scared about biking that high up in the air. But I want to see this path move forward so that we can have a nice, safer path for us to get around town without having to drive in all the traffic. I love the fact that we're going to have narrow lanes on Park Avenue because people speed, and narrower lanes slow people down. So we're going to have traffic moving below the speed limit. We're going to have a separate path maybe at the speed limit, you're right. We're going to have a separate, protected, raised path that I can walk on to get to New Brighton. Maybe kids can go to the skate park on. And I'm going to have a safer way for me to, you know, bike as I'm biking out of town.
So thank you. That concludes the public comment section. We got through 24 speakers, so that's pretty good. There were only 11 cards left, so if you had submitted a card and you didn't speak tonight, I apologize. You do have an opportunity. 2 weeks from now, April 17th, will be a special city council meeting specifically on this topic. It's going to be in the council chambers, and so I encourage you to be there, and continuing the conversation. All right, so with that,